veterans who are doing this.
They're made of sugar and they will melt.
We don't want to work too hard. The park is located at the east end of the Steel Bridge, just west of the convention center at the intersection of Northeast Oregon and Lloyd. And also we have the visibility action Thursday, March 19th. And that is 4 to 6 p.m. And thank you very much. And there it is.
Thank you, Portland.
And we're out.
At the end of the early British wars, the young land started growing, the young blood started flowing, but I ain't a marching anymore. For I killed my share of engines in a thousand different fights. I was there at the little big horn. I heard many men lying, I saw many more dying, but I ain't a marching anymore. It's always the old to lead us to the wars, always the young to fall. Now look at all we want with a saber and the gun. Tell me, is it worth it all? For I stole California from the Mexican land, fought in the bloody Civil War. Yes, I even killed my brothers and so many others. But I
tune in to K-Boo every second Friday from 8 to 10 p.m. for 1212, hosted by the K-Boo Youth Collective. We'll be jamming out to hip-hop and its evolutionary influences for higher vibrations and a peaceful tomorrow. We'll be dropping some cold classics by Bobby Humphrey, Gil Scott-Heron, and Zane, as well as some newer jams. Again, that's 1212, hosted by the K-Boo Youth Collective. Every second Friday from 8 to 10 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the film Occupy the Farm, playing at the Clinton Street Theater Thursday, April 2nd at 6:30 p.m.
Our main concern is water right now.
The university actually shut off our water.
What we're going to be doing is handing buckets over the fence.
Occupy the Farm tells the inspiring story of 200 farmers who occupy the last piece of farmland in California's urban East Bay, planting 15,000 seedlings to feed the community and disrupt plans to build a shopping mall. That's Occupy the Farm, Thursday, April 2nd, 6:30 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is KBOO Portland. Coming up at 10 a.m., we'll hear an hour-long version of Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11, the Digital Divide with host Rabia Yemin. We hear the words of NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden, and from Democracy Now!, how the government spies on your cell phone use. Thank you to KBOO members for your generous support. KBOO survives on your contributions. If you want to join the ranks of KBOO members, go to kboo.fm. You can click where it says Donate Today.
Flashpoints. Was there a real shakeup at the CIA? Will there be more transparency at the hyper-secret U.S. spy agency? We'll speak to a former high-level CIA analyst about what's going on there, if anything. Also, we'll have a report from the leader of the Pitt River Tribe on the latest battle to save indigenous sacred sites in Northern California. We'll talk to the Flashpoint Special Corps, our Flashpoint Special Correspondent on police violence, Randy Credico, who is now facing major trumped-up charges for photographing and filming out-of-control police brutality in New York City. We're going to watch that very closely, and we'll have our regular visit with the Electronic Intifada, hosted by Nora Barris Friedman. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this coming straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Well, last Friday afternoon, perfect, when stories are frequently put out to avoid scrutiny, a plan by the CIA and CIA Chief John Brennan to restructure the agency was made public. Much of the major media portrayed it as a reform to make Americans safer. The New York Times headline read, CIA to be overhauled to fight modern threats. However, many CIA veterans, like our next guest, argue that this is a step toward further politicization of the intelligence and of intelligence. And that word that I am having trouble saying is at the core of what we're talking about. We are grateful to have you back, Ray McGovern, former CIA analyst of some 27 years. You were busy preparing presidents and their daily briefing book, doing and chairing national intelligence estimates. You've been doing a lot of anti-war work, a lot of, if you will, informing all of us, putting your body on the line to try and stop what I guess you would now easily agree is a out-of-control war machine. How's that, Ray?
Well, you're right, Dennis. Thanks for having me back here. This, quote, reform, end quote, can be very noxious. And what many of us, veteran intelligence professionals for sanity, VIPS, spent the weekend doing was drafting and kind of comparing notes and coordinating a think piece, which we're happy to get out on Monday, and which no one else really has done the likes of. In other words, we would have expected by now for the Times or the Post or someone else, Wall Street Journal perhaps, to comment on this, but I guess they've been instructed not to.
Well, and I really, let me just jump in here, Ray, because politicizing intelligence, this is an incredibly important thing for people to understand. We've seen this evolving. Now it's essentially wars being run by the executive branch with the CIA deciding who dies on the other side of the world. But talk about what it means when you're politicizing information, when the Central Intelligence Agency is politicizing information. What exactly are they doing and are they doing, and why is that dangerous for policy?
Well, there are very sad examples of what happens when you put analysts together with covert action types. This, Dennis, was a structural fault from the very beginning of the agency. It was an accident of history. Truman wanted an analysis unit that would look at all the information available on a country or issue and tell him what we thought. You know, tell him like it is. The expression, without fear or favor, an objective analysis. That's why he didn't put us under the Pentagon or put us under the State Department. I still say us because, you know, 27 years there gives me the right to say us. Now, what happened was the covert operators got all the money and got all the attention. And it was, I worked under nine CIA directors, and it was very, very hard for them to tread this path between operations and intelligence. If the president wanted a war, as Reagan did in Central America, and Bill Casey was all for that, and so was Bobby Gates, well, you know, if they're arming and waging this war with the Contras against the duly elected Sandinista government in Nicaragua, then you're an analyst, okay? You're supposed to be telling the truth about what's going on in Nicaragua, And you go up to Congress or go anywhere and they say, well, what do you think about that war in Nicaragua? Are you going to say, this is crazy? I mean, they kill a lot of people. The drugs are coming into L.A. This is really nuts. Right. You're going to say that, and then you're going to have a job next week, right? So when the politicization is happening at the top, that's the very worst. And even worse example is George Tenet and John McLaughlin, who obeyed the president's instructions that when he said, we want to have a war against Iraq, you know, we need some intelligence to, quote, justify, end quote, that war. So go to it, guys. They saluted and they corrupted even the analysis part of the agency. Let me give you I'm from the Bronx, as you know, and we like to give for instances, okay? I'm going to give you a for instance. People will remember about Curveball. You know, Curveball, as advertised by Colin Powell, was the fellow who knew about these biological weapons trailers, movable, mobile, and making biological agents, right? Well, we didn't have any photos of that or any other kinds of imagery. So the CIA was asked to womp up some artists' renderings, and you may recall seeing those. Powell showed them at the UN. Well, it was all based on a crock. It was all based on one very suspicious agent that came to the Germans. The Germans said, you know, don't believe this guy. And only one U.S. Intelligence officer was permitted to see him. Now, what happened? Well, when this U.S. intelligence officer read an early draft of Powell's speech, where Powell's talking about firsthand evidence of these mobile biological weapons trailers, the validity of the information, he said, was excellent. Well, this guy knew it was a crock. So this is what he does. He writes email to his chief. Now, this is the important point. His chief is part of a task force. What's a task force? Well, this was the task force on Iraq. It contained analysts and it contained operatives, and they were both sort of enlisted in this fight to justify a war against Iraq. So this is the response he got from his supervisor. Quote, let's keep in mind the fact that this war is going to happen regardless of what Curveball said or didn't say, and that the powers that be probably aren't terribly interested in whether Curveball knows what he's talking about or not. Period, end quote. That's how bad it gets when the analysts are shoved together with the operatives, and worse still, of course, when the operations and the director himself are enlisted in this fraud. And people don't have to believe me. You might want to believe the research done for 5 years by the Senate Intelligence Committee, which came out with the conclusion that the pre-war intelligence on Iraq, it wasn't a mistake. No, it was, quote, uncorroborated, comma, contradicted, comma, or even non-existent, period, end quote. I ask you, Dennis, what do you think non-existent intelligence looks like? Oh, maybe forgery, something like that, huh? So that's as bad as it gets. Now, what we're trying to do, we veteran intelligence folks have been around for a while, we're trying to save the baby, okay? The backwater we see as this structure that Truman never intended, and said he never intended before he died. These operations folks, well, you know, if you want to overcome government, or overthrow, we don't say overthrow, I'm sorry. If you want to do regime change, okay, or if you want to do these other things, go ahead and do them, but don't put them in with the analysts. And so what we concluded here was this was an opportunity as well as a danger. And it was an opportunity to tell the president and anybody else who might listen, the time has come to form an entity that is not mixed up with operations, that does intelligence analysis immune from operational concerns like the war on terror and justifying drone wars. And
let me just jump in. I mean, sure. Let's just stop there for a moment.
Sure.
I think this collaboration that we now, I believe, has been confirmed at the highest levels between the CIA, CIA director, and the president in terms of targeting specific people. This is what we're talking about in terms of moving the intelligence into the White House, them sitting there together, picking targets and deciding who dies. I think they're skipping a few steps in the sort of war powers and all that other stuff.
Well, they sure are. I mean, the Fourth Amendment has been trashed, being safe from unreasonable searches and seizures, but so has the Fifth. You know, we're supposed to be secure from the kinds of harm to our bodies and our lives, and that's the Fifth Amendment. And the president has arrogated to himself, with the cooperation of John Brennan when he was in the White House, and now he's in the CIA. He does a list, and every Tuesday morning, and we have this on pretty good authority, it's the New York Times, but it hasn't been disputed by any administration officials. Every Tuesday morning, he reviews this little list, okay? It's not a little list. It probably has about 10, 15 names on it. And the president looks at it and says, well, okay, no. John, number three here, Abdul Rahman, something like that. Isn't he the guy you told me last week has three little children? Yeah, Mr. President, but we've seen him having lunch with a suspected Al-Qaeda figure, so that's confirmed. We need to really deal with him. The president said, well, John, let's put him at the bottom of the list. Let's only do the first five, skip him, do the first six. And you'll come back to that next week. I have to go have lunch with Michelle. That's how bad it is. Now, the worst thing, of course, is that these include U.S. citizens, four of them, deliberately killed by drones without any due process. And when you ask the president, or you ask Holder, where's the due process here? It says due process, the Fifth Amendment, and they say, well, we do the due process right here in the White House. Thank you very much. That's how bad it is. So when you put the analysts, so the analysts are saying, well, where do you get this information about Abdul Rahman? Okay, well, he was having lunch with you. Well, that's not good enough to kill him. Well, we think it is. Now, who's going to win that argument, right? So the good news is this. There's increased awareness, as